yesterday, we read in the parsha about Tsaras. Yes, everyone caught that? There were two pasukim yesterday. We caught the pasuk. It's verse number one. Hishamar b'negat tsaras lishmor ma'od v'lasos. Kachol asher yoreschem b'kohanim alevim kasher tivisim tishmru lasos. Make sure you guard the tsaras. Don't try to cut the tsaras off your skin. There's a process of healing for tsaras. There are halachos of tsaras. And then the pasuk says, one of the six zechiros that some people recite every day after davening. Others have more zechiros, but there are at least six in the Torah where the Torah tells us to remember something. Zachor eis asher asa Hashem lokecha leMiriam. Remember what happened to Miriam. B'derech b'tzeis chumitzrayim. What happened to Miriam? Miriam spoke lashon hara against Moshe Rabbeinu, and she got tsaras. Says Rashi, yesterday's parsha, source number two. Zachor eis asher asa Hashem lokecha leMiriam. If you want to make sure that you do not become afflicted with tsaras, al tisaper lashon hara, zachor. Remember what happened to Miriam. Remember that if a Jew speaks lashon hara, you're going to get tsaras. Tragically, today we don't have tsaras. I say tragically because it would stop a lot of lashon hara. But we should remember what happened to Miriam. Zachor ha'aswe le Miriam. She spoke negatively against her brother, but laksa binagad. Okay? So this is a pasuk in yesterday's parsha. A Jew has an obligation to be thinking about lashon hara. And I was thinking that, well, the more so this time of the year, we're trying to do tshuva, we're trying to mitaken a lot of things, but certainly our tongues and our mouth, we want to purify them to come to the Amna Ram, to be able to daven the beautiful words of the Amna Ram, and to beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu with vidui that we should be forgiven for our sins. We want to make sure that our mouths are clean. So we should think about lashon hara. There's a rule when it comes to tshuva in general. If I did something to upset a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so who do I need to work out my grievances with? Kadosh Baruch Hu. What happens if I did something to hurt another human being? So then I can't just go running to Hashem to work it out with God. I have to first work it out with that human being. And then afterwards I can come and work it out with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's a Gemara, Mishnah rather, in Maseches Yoma in source number 3. Averos Shebein Altim Lamakom, Yom Kippurim Mechaper. If I have a problem between me and Hashem, I ate not kosher. That's between me and God, to myself and God. So Yom Kippur is the day where I can work it out with Hashem. I can obviously work it out before that. But Yom Kippur will be the final cleansing process of that particular Avero. But Averos Shebein Adam Lechavero, Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper Ad Shiratzes Chavero. The mission is very clear, Yom HaPeayim would be, that if I did something to hurt you, I can't just come to Hashem and say, I'm sorry that I hurt one of your children. Hashem says, did you work it out with my child? Did you talk it over with that person first? Yom Kippur cannot cleanse the person until I work it out. I work out my grievances and I'm mafayis that individual. I appease that person. What's the source? How do you know this is true? Logic tells you it's true, but our logic should hopefully be driven by the Torah. How do you know it's true? Darash Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Mikol chatoseichem lifnei Hashem titaru. Averos shebein adam lemakom. Yom HaKippur Mechaper. Averos Shebein Adam Lechavero. Ein Yom HaKippur Mechaper Ad Shiratze Es Chavero. If it's Levnei Hashem, if it's between you and God, then Titaru, then Yom Kippur will take care of it. But if it's between you and somebody else, before you come running to Hashem, right, you have an obligation to work it out with that person. This is, in fact, the halacha. It's a painful halacha, but if you're in a fight with someone, you can't come to Hashem and say, Hashem, I know you don't like machlokas, and I'm really sorry I'm fighting with this person. Hashem says, no thanks, don't even show up until you talk to that person. It's painful to work it out, to work through it, but you need to be mephizing. You hurt someone's feelings, and you've been ignoring each other since that falling out, you need to go to that person and work it out with them before you show up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and work it out with Hashem. Okay? The most extreme way to understand this, by the way, is that I can't work out anything with Hashem until I work out my issues with other people. That would be a very scary way to learn this halacha. The less scary way to learn this halacha is I can still work out my issues between me and God, and I just can't work out the issues between me and God as related to my friend until I include my friend in that process. But the most extreme way to learn it, and some poskim do learn it this way, is that I can't negotiate anything with God until I first work it. Hashem says, if the children are fighting, then the father says, I don't want... You kids have to work it out amongst yourselves, and then we'll talk. And until you do that, Hashem says, I'm staying out of this. I'm not interested in talking business with you. I'm not talking truth with you, I'm not talking kapara, I'm not talking tahara. First, you got to work out your issues bein adam lechaver. That's the psak in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch puts this where in an interesting place. And we're going to pay close attention to this today. In source number 4. Averos shebein adam lechavero, ein yom kippur mechaper, ad sheyifaisenu. Where is this halacha in Shulchan Aruch? Where is this halacha up here? Orach Chaim, Daily Laws, Simin Tov Reish Vav, chapter 606, right, of the Jewish Code of Law, in the first section, Daily Laws. Orach Chaim, Simin Tov Reish Vav. What is that section of Shulchan Aruch? Look at the title. Shiyafayis Adam Chavero Be'erev Yom Kippur. That on Erev Yom Kippur, I should make sure that I appease others. Now, should I wait till Erev Yom Kippur to start doing that? Let's put that on the back burner for now. Let's go back into the words of the Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch says, if it's Averos Ben Adam L'Chavero, you cannot receive Kapara until what? Until you first appease your friend. Afilu imiknito lo iknito ela bidvarim. Even if I only what? Insulted this person with my words. Sarach lafaiso. You need to appease him. You need to appease him. Well, but I didn't do anything. I didn't physically harm him. I didn't cause him monetary damage. If you hurt his feelings, you are expected to be mafayes him, to appease him. V'im einu mispayes berishona. Let's say you go to the guy and you say, listen, I'm really sorry for what I did. And he says, I hate your guts. Don't ever talk to me again. Yachzer v'yedech pam shniya v'shlishes. You have to go back a second time. You have to go back a third time. And you have to say, no, but really, I'm so sorry. And hopefully, over time, right? By the third time, at the very least, he'll see you're serious and he'll forgive you. If he doesn't forgive you, says the Shulchan Aruch in the third line, Eino Zakuklo, you don't have to keep going. You don't have to keep trying. Okay? But you should go, it says the Ramah, parentheses, Miu Yomer Acher Kach Lefnei Yod, go in front of a minion and at least declare publicly, I tried my best to appease this person. If it's your Rebbe, the Shulchan Aruch says, you have to go endless amount of times. Okay? Says in the fifth line, the person who's being asked for forgiveness shouldn't be achsari, shouldn't be cruel, he should be quick to forgive. But again, the halacha is very clear. You have an obligation to go to the person, even if he says no the first time, bring some other people with you to show that you're serious, and to do it a second time and a third time. You have to work out your issues bein adam lechaveru. The question I want to talk about today, which is such a fascinating question, I think, you'll tell me what you think, such a fascinating question, is the following. Now let's look at the words of the Mishnah Berurah, and let's keep in mind that the Mishnah Berurah is written by the Chafetz Chaim. And then we're going to see what the Chafetz Chaim wrote in his work on Lashon Hara, Sefer Chafetz Chaim. And we'll somehow see if we can put all this together. What does the Mishnah Berurah write over there in Tav Reish Vav, in source number 5? Yachzer v'yelech, if he didn't give you forgiveness the first time, go back a second time. V'yifaisenu b'chol pam b'min ritzoy acher, try different approaches to appease him. Okay. Now it's bolded. Uvishas bakashas mechila. Tzarech lefareit mashechata lechavero. When I go to work out my grievance with this person, it's not just enough to say, I'm sorry. You have to say, I'm sorry. He says, what are you sorry for? I'm sorry for what happened. What happened? Okay, I'm sorry that I punched you in the face and I called you all those terrible names. You have to be mefareit. You have to express. That's part of the tshuva process. It's painful to talk it out. What happened? To spell out the details. Tzarech lefareit mashechata lechavero. You need to express openly the details of what you did to your friend. Now, look at the next few words. Im lo kishiyodeya shechavero yizbayish mizeh kishiyafaret achit azai lo yafaret asam. But if you know your friend's going to be embarrassed by it, right? Imagine, you went to ask tshuva for forgiveness the first time, he slammed the door in your face. So you went back, you followed the Shulchan Aruch instructions. Yeah, you took along 3 other people with you to show that I really mean it, to do more of a public apology, right? So now you go back to the guy, and now what? You're going to be mafarit. You're going to start telling what happened in front of these other people. Maybe it's very embarrassing to the person, right? Remember the time that you had just come out of the mikvah and I grabbed your towel, right? That's very embarrassing. He doesn't want people to know about that. He was left so terribly embarrassed. So that's how you're apologizing to me? You're embarrassing me more? So says the Mishnah Berurah, if you're going to embarrass him by rehashing the details of what happened, remember the time I wronged you in this way or that way, and it's embarrassing for him, so then better what? Right, then, lo yifarito, so better not to specify what had happened. But under normal circumstances, you have an obligation, as painful as it is, to try to talk it out As painful as it is to even rehash what happened, to drop those memories of that embarrassing sichsuch, that fight that took place between the two of you, the way that you wronged him, the way that you shamed him, the way you embarrassed him, right? The way that you ruined him. As painful as it is to talk it out, ideally you should talk it out. But if you know he's going to be more embarrassed by it, better not to talk it out at all. Okay? Here's the fascinating question. When it comes to Lashon Hara, let's say I spoke Lashon Hara about someone. Yeah? So do I have to go to that person and tell him I spoke Lashon Hara about you and I'm sorry? So the pashtus, you would think, if I go to him and I say, let's say he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know I spoke Lashon Hara about him. Yeah? He doesn't know. I was talking to Jared about Yankel. And I said, Yankel's this and Yankel's that. And now I'm feeling bad about it. So if I go and I say, Yankel, let me tell you what happened today. I spoke Lashon Hara about you. And here's what I said about you. Oh, and by the way, I'm sorry. So does that, rationally, does that make sense? Does that seem like a good idea? Yeah?
Is there an equal amount to saying, like just go up to someone and say, I spoke Lashon Hara about you?
Without saying the details. Okay, so that might be what the Chavetz Chaim in the Mishnah Berurah seems to recommend it.
That doesn't make any sense.
So now you say, don't even get involved with it. Why hurt him to then apologize to him?
Because imagine someone coming up to you and said, I said something terrible about you, so I'm sorry.
Right.
And now you're thinking, well, what did you say? And now you're incredibly self-conscious about it.
Well, maybe, no. So maybe you have, maybe part of tshuva is I have to tell you. Noam, here's what I said about you. I called you the following names, and I said you're this, and I said you're that. And I may have, by the way, remember that internship you were trying to get? I probably ruined it by saying what I said. I'm telling you all these details. And by the way, you know what? I feel terrible about what I did. Now, does that make sense? On the one hand, you're not going to get the internship. Maybe you have a right to know why you didn't get the internship. And maybe part of my tshuva is telling you something you don't even realize affected you. It's a very fascinating question. I'm going to show you historically what an interesting discussion came out of this. Yeah.
On one level, like, it's definitely important to scratch something to be open, but like, knowing how especially Arab Yom Kippur.
Oh, so let's leave the Arab Yom Kippur piece out for a moment.
So even close by, like, maybe there's an obligation to forgive someone. The person may say, I forgive you out of obligation, but now you open up like a wound, or you may have, like,
so that's really the question. Can I wound you and then heal you?
Especially if it's near true.
What? Say again?
Especially if you're saying something true, they're still going to feel bad about it. It's one thing you said, I'm sorry that I told everybody that you
right.
like to eat cold right. butter for breakfast. If that's not true, but if another thing you said, I'm sorry.
If I said true things about you, right, the person's still hurt. Even though I feel bad that I said bad things about you, but I'm still basically admitting that this is what I think about you. And I'm still saying I think you're a bad guy. Okay. So let's look at the next source. This is the Chavetz Chaim in Sefer Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim wrote the first complete encyclopedic halachic work on tshuva. We just saw in the Mishnah Berurah that he told us that you shouldn't specify the details if you're going to hurt the person. Let's see how the Chavetz Chaim presents it now, specifically in the context of Lashon Hara, in the laws of Lashon Hara, Klal Dalet Sif Yud Beis. Take a look in source 6. Now again, let's pause for a second and realize there are many different possibilities. Does he know that I spoke Lashon Hara about him? Does he not know? If he doesn't know, does he know that someone spoke Lashon Hara about him? He just doesn't know it's me. Have my words caused damage to him, or have they not caused damage to him? There's a lot of scenarios and variables here which we need to work out. Chavetz Chaim introduces it in a very broad sense. If a person spoke Lashon Hara on his friend, we don't know if the friend knows yet. We don't know if it affected him yet. A lot of variables. And now this person is focused on himself. I know that I spoke Lashon Hara and I want to do tshuva. That's the part that I'm focused on right now. Taloi b'zeh. So it depends on the following possibilities. Im ha'shomim dochu es dvarav. Right? If I said to Jared, Yankel is such a whatever, Jared says, nah, come on, Yankel's a great guy. Stop talking about that. Let's talk about something else. Right? So nothing happened. Jared didn't change his perspective on Yankel, and Yankel didn't hear that I spoke badly about him, and no one was affected. So then, right? I haven't impacted Jared's perspective. I haven't impacted Yankel's life. The only thing I've done wrong is that the Torah says, don't speak badly about people. So now it's a Bein Adam L'Makom issue. Between me and Hashem, I didn't speak in a way that Hashem likes. As far as the ramifications, it didn't really affect very much. I got lucky that Jared's a nice guy. I got lucky that Yankel right? Didn't overhear what I said. Hashem's not thrilled with me. Third line. Hashem doesn't like when Jews speak badly, as I wrote in my introduction. And therefore, tikuno, she is charet al sha'avar, v'yezvada, v'yekabal atzma b'leiv shalim al haba. I say to Hashem, I'm sorry that I spoke in a way that you don't like. I commit myself in the future not to do it again. Shalom lasos kain. Kamo b'chol avonos shebein adam l'makom. We'll pause here because I see there are a lot of hands. Yes.
Is there any justification for anything that's something that everyone has built up at some point? Having a go-to person.
Like
you have one person that you would say things to, whether it's
right. So that's a very interesting question. The Gemara has a statement on a pasuk. Daiga believe ish. Right. The pasuk says daiga believe ish yishichena. So the Gemara says daiga believe ish yishichena lechaveru. That if a person has worry in his heart, he should talk it out with his friend. That's what the Gemara says in Yoma. Right. Very often, if I don't have a means of talking this out with someone, you're saying, right? So then I live with a different prohibition of the Torah, which is what? Which is, don't hate your friend in your heart. And I walk around with these angry feelings in my heart, which is also every second, the Sefer HaChinuch says, also an Isser, to walk around hating this person. Maybe it would be better if I just talk it out with someone and at least get it off my chest. So I don't think we normally assume that there is a heter to do such a thing. We have to figure out ways maybe to be able to relieve oneself of that stress without speaking Lashon Hara. So maybe to talk about the issue to someone who's not going to know that you're speaking about a particular person. Right? Maybe you speak to, seek professional counsel. If you're going to talk to your wife about your business partner, even if I don't mention his name, she knows who you're talking about. There's an issue of Lashon Hara between a husband and a wife. At least that's what the Chofetz Chaim paskins. So it's very hard. So we have to train ourselves to find ways to be able to have conversations, and if we're upset about something, to be able to talk about that without at the same time specifically, changing someone else's position or perspective on another person. There are heterim in Lashon Hara also. There are times when a person is allowed to speak Lashon Hara. Right? So we need to know, no, just because you're angry at this person, you have to know what's considered to us. The halachos are very detailed and are found in a massive book that looks like this. So there's a lot, this is Chofetz Chaim and Shmir Salashim, but it's half of this book. Okay, so there's a lot. What we're saying, everything we're about to learn in this year, by the way, I want to say is halacha below the maisa. Meaning exactly what the psak is at the end, I don't feel comfortable telling you, but we're learning the sugya. And again, of course, if we want to know what we're allowed to say and not allowed to say, Chofetz Chaim did us a great service and put it together for us. What's considered toeles? Who am I allowed to speak to? In what way am I allowed to speak? No, and we can look all those things up if we want. But, okay, let's see. Yeah?
Is there an opinion that you and your wife say Lashon Hara to each other?
I'm not sure.
Is Shane the Rivari a little bit myself? You want the doctor?
I'm not sure. Because you're saying, you're talking to yourself. Isho Kagufo.
Yeah.
You're allowed to talk to yourself about something. Okay, I don't know. That's Lamdas. That's Lamdas. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. All I know is it's not so simple to assume. It's just my wife. I need someone to shoot my ideas off of, so I can say whatever I want to her. It's not so simple. Yes.
Is it also to hear someone saying something right in front of you?
About you.
Yeah, are you allowed to say some of them, or does that fall under like a serving another person?
What do you mean?
Is there like any sort of against that? I don't know what.
You should stop someone. If someone's speaking negatively about a Jew, you should stop them. Period.
It's very uncomfortable.
Of course it is. Then you should walk away. You should change the topic. Okay? But so far we see that again. If nothing has happened from my negative speech about Yankel to Jared, because Jared didn't listen and Yankel wasn't hurt by it, then it's between me and God. Yes.
Next
sure.
Do we have to then go to them and ask for mechila if you listen to something said badly about?
Right. Do you have to ask mechila from the person who you heard something bad about? Because listening to Lashon Hara is also problematic. Interesting question.
They also would ask.
Interesting question. That might just be between you and Hashem, but I'm not sure. It's an interesting question. Okay, let's see a little more, and then again, I'm not promising to have all the answers at all, But let's see what we can find. Okay, where it's bolded in source 6. But if I know Jared is now going to change his attitude towards Yankel because of what I said about him, and Yankel's life has been ruined by my negative speech, something bad is going to happen because of this. Then we have a Ben Adam L'Chavero issue. Because I did something to hurt Yankel. Shafilu Yom Kippurim V'Yom HaMisa Einu Machaper At Shirat Tzas Chavero. I have to work it out with him if I want to be forgiven. Neither Yom Kippur nor death can cleanse a person. Al-Kain Tzarech Levakish Mechila Mechavero Azeh. I need to apologize to this person and ask Mechila U'Kishi Yispayes V'Yimcho Lo Lo Nishar Alav. If he forgives me, then great. Then I have a clean slate. Then it's only between me and Hashem. And then I'll work out the Hashem part. I worked out the friend part, I work out the Hashem part. Now, look what he writes, where it's bold and even a larger font. This is the key line. Here's where it gets really awkward. Yankel doesn't know that I cost him his job, that Jared's not going to like Yankel anymore. He's not going to hire him for a job. He's not going to befriend him. Yankel doesn't even realize that I spoke about him. He doesn't realize the implications and the ramifications of what will be caused by my negative speech. So now I go to Yankel. Do I need to tell him what I said? Do I need to admit to what I did? Tzarich ligalos lo, masha'asa negdo shelo kedin. I need to tell him clearly what I did wrong. Since I know that something bad happened to Yankel, he doesn't, at this point, he doesn't know. He doesn't realize, but I know I caused trouble for him. I spoke badly about Yankel to this person, and now I know that this girl who's going out with Yankel is going to break up with him. I caused him his shidduch. He doesn't know that I was the cause of it, but I have an obligation to go to him, tell him what happened, and to apologize to him for what I've done. Final paragraph in source 6, and I'll take some comments. So if you want to avoid being in an awkward situation, be so careful the way that you speak, not to get involved in this bad midah. Because to have that conversation with Yankel is so uncomfortable. And who knows, sometimes I speak about someone and I'm not even able to get to them to ask tshuva. It's so hard to do tshuva for Lashon Hara. Ki bevadei lo yizkir as kol mispar nefashos yehidev al yedei Lashon Hara shelo. Because I don't know the ramifications. I was speaking to a group of people, and I know that they don't like Yankel the same way anywhere. But maybe the Jared didn't hire him, and that's going to cause someone else to have a bad perspective of Yankel. Who knows how far reaching it is. So I can't even completely undo what I've done. Va'afilo osam anashim, where it's bolded. It could be there are many people I spoke badly about and I don't even realize who they are. And what, now I'm going to try to track them down and figure it out. Sometimes it's easy. I spoke badly about one person this year. I know what it was. I know what I did. I work it out with them. But sometimes I spoke about this one. I spoke about that one. And all sorts of ramifications that I don't even realize. It becomes very hard for a person to do Lashon Hara. The person, Haim lo yedu mizeh, Valkein yisbayish legalos es asam azeh. Chavetz Chaim says, you have an obligation to tell them. You're going to be so embarrassed to tell them. In which case, you might not do the tshuva that you need to do. Chavetz Chaim says, you need to tell them. You may not feel comfortable, in which case you don't do tshuva, which means you're stuck with Lashon Hara, which means we still don't have a base to make this, we don't have Mashiach, and you don't have the proper tshuva on Yom Kippur. So Chavetz Chaim says, don't get into this mess, and don't speak badly about people. Okay? Good? Okay, questions or comments? Yeah, Jojo, you had your hand up first.
On the topic again of like saying something to someone that could possibly be someone else's life. Let's say you're like working for someone and the boss and one of your friends wants to get a job.
Okay.
And the boss asks you
if you think he's qualified.
Yeah.
So again, there are cases where lito elis, if you feel that a person, and you have to learn the halachos carefully, but there are cases where it's lito elis, that you're trying to prevent someone from a loss. You know that this person, this friend, is not a trustworthy individual. Right? So you're not being fair by giving the advice, yeah, he's a great guy. That's not fair to the one who's hiring him. Same thing with regard to shidduchim. There are certainly exceptions. If a person is inquiring about a person, it doesn't mean it's a free-for-all, you can say whatever you want. But if you have information that's important for this person or this family to know that will greatly impact the marriage, yeah, better they should know it now than wake up, you know, 3 months into marriage and find out all these horrible things and realize that this was not really a proper fit for this, you know, family or individual. So there are certainly cases where one is allowed in a purposeful, meaningful fashion, not because I want this, I don't like this guy, I don't want him to get a job, but because, you know, I wish I could get him a job, but if you want the honest truth, he's not a good worker, he's a dishonest person, he stole from the, I employed him once and he stole from me. There are times and ways to say certain things, but you have to learn the halachos carefully. Yes? Yes. Okay, so that's exactly what he's warning. Don't let's be makaba, at least lahaba, to not get into those situations. Yes, we all have outstanding debts that we need to pay, and we may not have the means to pay them because we just don't know who we owe it to.
So does it become bin adam l'mako?
No, it doesn't become bin adam l'mako. I should still try at least to. Okay, so we'll see. Maybe the Arab Yom Kippur piece will be the answer to that. Okay, let's look in source 7 in the Be'er Mayim Chaim. What's the Be'er Mayim Chaim? The Chofetz Chaim Sefer, right? Sefer Chofetz Chaim is divided. Each page is divided into two parts. You have the top of the page, which is the Mekor HaChaim, where he gives you the simple halacha. And then at the bottom of the page, there's the Be'er Mayim Chaim. He tells you where he got the halacha. So let's see, where did he get this halacha from? And is it as simple as it sounds from what we read in source number 6? Let's read in Os Memches. Okay, you see in source 7, there are two paragraphs. The second one is Os Memches. Let's see what the Chofetz Chaim says about Tzarech Ligaloslo. You need to reveal it to him. You need to admit what you did. Okay, where did he get this from? So he writes, Shari Tshuva L'Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah wrote a classic Musar work called the Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah was a great Rishon in the 1200s. Rabbeinu Yonah's work, Shari Tshuva, was used by the Chofetz Chaim not only as a book of ethics, but as a book of halacha, which itself is interesting, whether or not it was meant to be understood as a book to quote and bring proof lahalacha from is an interesting discussion, but Chofetz Chaim certainly used it that way and felt it could be used that way, it should be used that way. So he writes, I got this halacha really from a Rishon, I didn't make this up. This is the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah, Ayin Sham. V'tzarech iyun. But let's raise the following nuance in our scenario. Im le'eis ato lo higia hezek v'tzar l'chaber al yidei diburo. Let's say I told Jared again something bad about Yankel, and nothing bad has happened yet. Ach yesh l'chush, but I'm concerned, sheberabos hazman yugrum lo yidei ze hezek v'tzar. So now I'm in a funny situation. Right now, nothing has happened to Yankel. And I don't know for sure if anything will happen to Yankel, but I suspect that based on the way that Jared, you know, had a look in his eye when I told him about Yankel, I have reason to believe that this could, in the future, directly impact Yankel. Uval mesaper lasos tshuva alavono. I want to do tshuva because I know I spoke lashon hara, but I don't really know if this is going to trickle down. Right? What was the halacha? What do we learn in the first part of source 6? If he's never going to hear about it. Right? If Jared wasn't Mekabalit and Yankel's not going to be affected by it, then it's just Ben Adon L'makom and leave Yankel out of this. The question is, what if I have a suffix? I don't know if it's going to affect him. So should I go to him and should I tell him and should I bring it up and maybe it's not even going to ever affect him, so why start with him? It's going to hurt him by telling him. Im chayiv l'fayir sosor avur zeh o shiyaseh rak tshuva l'makom. So should I just make it between me and Hashem? Or should I go to Yankel and say, listen, Yankel, I hope this will never affect you, but I'm scared that maybe one day it will, and I want to apologize in advance. To try to stop it.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I can turn it into Vada, I can clarify the case, that's good. So it says, but if I'm not sure, if I don't have the means to pull back my words, Habshita, Diamasarak Chubalabako, let's say I did tshuva between me and Hashem, because that's all that was impacted right now, and later I find out that Yankel was hurt, so then of course I need to go to Yankel and I need to appease him, right? However, the question is, what if I just don't know? That's a big risk. If I go to Yankel and I put this out there, he may never have heard about it, may never been affected by it, and now I'm bringing up this very uncomfortable thing. I'm harming my relationship with Yankel. I hope afterwards I'll be able to mephize him, I'll be able to appease him to the point that I really remove any of the bad feelings, but that's not a simple thing to do. So says the Chofetz Chaim, in such a case, should I tell him? I'm kind of trapped in the middle. He concludes, you see where it's bolded? Tzarech Iyun. Not sure in such a case. Okay? So we see there are a lot of variables here, and it's a very complicated shaila to deal with. But again, according to the Chafetz Chaim, one thing is clear. If I know that Yankel is going to be hurt by my words, or Yankel already has been hurt by my words, and he just doesn't know that I was the one who was responsible for those negative words, I have to go to Yankel, I have to say, Yankel, here's what happened. I was the one who spoke to Jared, and I was the one who cost you that internship, and I was the one who cost you that girl you were hoping to marry, and I was the one who caused so-and-so to stop being friends with you. I had to put it all out there, very painfully, and Yankel is going to look at me and say, you were the one? Right? It's going to create a tremendous tension between me and Yankel, and then hopefully, says the Chafetz Chaim, you'll be able to appease Yankel afterwards. Now, why do I find this question so fascinating, this halacha so fascinating? Because of the historical background that goes with this story. Look in the Sefer Tnuas HaMusar in source number 8. Rav Dov Katz wrote a multi-volume set called Tnuas HaMusar, the Musar movement. And he talks about the early personalities of the Musar movement. Who do we attribute the Musar movement, the founder of the Musar movement is? Rav Shlomo Salanter. Okay? The tale is told in many svarim with different nuances, exactly what the story was. But the story goes somewhat as follows. That the Chafetz Chaim, who was younger than Rav Yisrael Salanter, came to Rav Yisrael Salanter when he wrote the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, and he asked for a haskama. I want a haskama from the Rebbe, from Rav Yisrael Salanter, for my book. Who better? For a book of halachic ethics, like the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, who better to ask for a haskama than Rav Yisrael Salanter? Now, before we get into the details of that story, let's read source number 8 for a moment. In the Tnuas HaMusar, he's describing the greatness of Rav Yisrael Salanter. Below rak b'dikduke mitzvah. Not only when Rav Yisrael Salanter performed mitzvahs was he so precise, he stayed Rav Yisrael leval lahadr al cheshbonim shel achirim. Rav Yisrael was so careful never to do a hidr mitzvah at the expense of someone else. I'm just remembering now, there's a famous story with one of the Ger Rebbes, the Leiv Simcha of Ger. Yeah, the Leiv Simcha of Ger made some type of takana to ensure that all of the Hasidim should kind of have equal, you know, quality arba minim. And someone said to him, I forget exactly how the maisa went. Basically, the punchline was, it would be better for you to do a hiddur mitzvah in Bein Adam L'Chavero and make sure your friend has a lulav and esrog than for you to have the nicest lulav and esrog and your friend to not have a lulav and esrog. So hiddur mitzvah, right? If my hiddur mitzvah in a chefza shel mitzvah is at the expense of another Jew, Bein Adam L'Chavero also has hiddur mitzvah. Rav Yisrael Salanter says in the Tnuas HaMusar, says Rav Dov Katz, was very particular to make sure that his hiddur mitzvah, that his mitzvahs, his connection to Hashem, was not at the expense of another Jew. Hu savar, she'ein gam rishus l'kayim mitzvahs gedolos, uli natzal mi'averos chamuros, im korach bezeh tzar azulos. I can't do a mitzvah. Right? The famous line from Rav Yisrael Salanter, when a person is putting on his talis, right, for Yom Kippur, right before Kol Nidre, make sure you don't smack someone else in the face with your talis strings. Because here you are, you're trying to get close to Hashem. Hello? Bein Adam L'Chaver is also an important part of what Hashem wants, coming into Yom Kippur. So to have that sensitivity, so he was very particular. When it came to big mitzvahs or big averos, he would never do anything if it was going to be at the expense of another human being. This Orel Lefan of Shela, the following question came before him. Im Adam Asher Chata Keneged Chaveru B'tzina B'lashon Har V'rachilus Muter Lo Lefayis Oso Levakish Aslichaso. Should I go and tell Yankel that I hurt him, that I did this to him? And I know that by telling him he's going to get red in the face. I know that by telling him he's going to have a terrible feeling in his heart. I know he might break down crying. I know I'm going to cause him pain by confessing. My intention right afterwards is to what? Is to what? Is to appease him. But I know in the moment it's going to cause him terrible, terrible pain. So should I do such a thing? Rav Yisrael Salanter said, absolutely not. Imam Nam, right? Where it's bolded. Imam Nam legabe atzmo. Even though I don't want Lashon Hara on my cheshbon in Shemayim. I want to erase Lashon Hara from my ledger in Shemayim. But the only way for me to do that is to what? Is to put Yankel through hell. Yankel's going to feel terrible when I start telling him everything I said about him. So Rizal Salanter said, so too bad. You're stuck with Lashon Hara. And you're not going to go do tshuva at the expense of another Jew. Ein lo rishus biglal tovaso la'adiv as leiv chavero u'lachasidas atzmo acheshbon tzaro shel zulas. You can't clean your slate at the expense of another Jew. I don't care. I don't care if this is the process. No way. So the story goes as follows. When the Chafetz Chaim came to Rav Yisrael Salanter and he gave him his beautiful work, the Chafetz Chaim, a brilliant work, a unique sefer of halacha on the laws of Lashon Hara. No one had ever written a book like this before. not of this depth, not of this quality. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the story is told, would not give him Oscar. Why did Rabbi Yisrael Salanter refuse to give? This is an important piece of Jewish history you need to know. I don't know if you got credit in college for this Jewish history class, right? Let's meet to our Kolinsky. There's an important piece of Jewish history. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would not give a haskama to the Chavetz Chaim. Why? Because of one halacha in the Sefer Chavetz Chaim. Klal Dalet Sif Yud Beis. This halacha. The Chavetz Chaim says, tshuva, go tell the person what you did. Your uncle's going to feel terrible. It's true. That's how you do tshuva, and then you apologize to the uncle. Yisrael Salanter said, no way. Why would you start up with the uncle? Why would you make him feel so bad? Right? You've already hurt him enough. You have to deal with it on your own. It's your penalty, and you're going to have to answer for it one day. You're going to have to answer and get him for it one day. But I want to get rid of it. You can't get rid of it at the expense of another person. It's just not fair, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The story is told in the biography of the Chavetz Chaim in source number 9. In the Hebrew biography of Chavetz Chaim, Chayavu Pa'alo, the Chavetz Chaim, his life and his works, which is translated into English. The article biography of the Chavetz Chaim is an English translation of this Hebrew work. Not everything is in both editions, but it says as follows. Misaper, Bishah Shabbat Chavetz Chaim Ksav Yado. Imagine a young Chavetz Chaim coming to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter with his beautiful writings in his hand. He comes to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Bikshu Allah laniach es ksav yad bereshuso. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, here, leave the sefer with me. I want to read it through it. Ulizman ma amanas la'ayin bo. Leave it here for a period of time. I want to check it out. L'kishabo l'kachto. Shalu Rabbi Yisrael. When the Chavetz Chaim came back to pick up the sefer, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, hincha koveya b'chiburecha. He wrote in your chibur. Ki misha siper lashon hara al-chaveru chayim l'faisu l'vakish mechilaso. A person who spoke Lashon Hara has to go and apologize to the person. Einani mevin, I don't understand, said Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. I don't get it. Eifo imritzoncha lachzor b'tshuva. Halzos yorshalacha letzaras chavercha. Because you want to do tshuva, you have a right to harm another person. I don't understand this halacha that you wrote there. And even though he doesn't tell it exactly here that the Chavetz Chaim was coming to get a haskama in many other svarim, again, there's different nuances, details of the story, but the way it's told that the Chavetz Chaim was denied a haskama from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Take a look in here. The Chavetz Chaim has haskamas from I think, four people. Right? None of the names are very familiar to us, but they were big gedolim of that time. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter did not give a haskama to the Sefer Chavetz Chaim because he felt it was not fair. The Chavetz Chaim responded, but I got this from Rabbeinu Yonah and the Shari Tshuva. And the Rabbi Salanter was impressed with his response, but he was not willing to perhaps give the haskama. When the Chavetz Chaim left, the Talmidim of Rabbi Salanter asked him, as is recorded here in source number 9, who is this young man? Why are you mechabit him so much? And Rabbi Salanter said, this young man is going to become a Gadol Yisrael. He's going to be a manig of the Jewish people, and I can see he has a tremendous ability to turn people towards the proper path of Torah and mitzvahs. But at the same time, I feel that this particular halacha, I disagree with him on. Okay, questions or comments? I saw a few hands. No, anyone? Something? Yeah. You wouldn't. You wouldn't. Go to the last source. What's the last source on the page? The Gemara in Erechin. Yeah. I think if you look at this Gemara in Erechin, I think this machlokas Chavetz Chaim Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is exactly what this Gemara is saying. The Gemara in Erechin Tesvavim and Beis says, "Am Rabbi Chaim Bar Chanina, ma taka nasal shemasapri lashon hara? How does a person who spoke lashon hara do tshuva? How does he get a takana? Im talmid chacham yasuk b'torah, im ama aretz yashvil daita. He should be humble." Says the Gemara in the third line, Rav Acha Rabbi Chanina Omer, Siper ein lo takana. A person who spoke Lashon Hara can't get a takana. Shekvar karso David Baruch HaKodesh. David said such a person is already cut off. Yachreis Hashem kol sifse chalakos, Lashon midaberes gedolos. So says the Gemara, Elamat takanaso shelo yavo lidei Lashon Hara. See, the Gemara initially says, how do you do tshuva for Lashon Hara? A Talmud Chacham should do this, an Amar should do that. Then the Gemara says, hold on a second. But David Melech says, a person who speaks Lashon Hara can undo the damage that's done. So the Gemara changes the question. What should a person do to not get into Lashon Hara, to avoid speaking Lashon Hara? A Talmud Chacham should learn Torah. And Am Haaretz should be a humble person, not to speak about others. But the Gemara seems to say that, Ein Hachanami, once you speak Lashon Hara, you can't get out of it. And maybe it's exactly what Rabbi Salanter is saying. Yes, if you went to Yanko, and you told him, and then you were Mephias him, that would be tshuva. But the Rabbi Salanter says, you don't have a right to do tshuva in that way. You don't have a right to embarrass the other. Chafetz Chaim says you do, it seems. Right? But Rishon Lezion says, you can't do tshuva at the expense of hurting another person. Yeah, but afterwards I'll appease him. You have no right to go down that route, says Rav Yisrael Salat. Okay? Take a look now at the photocopies. We only have a few minutes left till Shira is over. And now I want to show you something very interesting. Rav Moshe Sternbach wrote a multi-volume set called Mo'adim V'Zmanim. Okay? This is a nice blue edition that I have here, which I brought from home, Chelek Aleph. And look what he has in Simen Nun Dalet. He discusses this shaila in a very interesting way. Now, if you remember, I pointed out, why is it that these laws of appeasing one's friend appear on Erev Yom Kippur, in the halachos of Erev Yom Kippur? Is this just a halach on Erev Yom Kippur? If I heard Ilan, if I did something to upset him during the year, I should go right away and apologize. I have to wait till Erev Yom Kippur to settle up with him. Why did the Shulchan Aruch put it in such a location? So he writes at the beginning, he quotes the Gemara in Yoma, which we saw, about again being Mephias, one's friend. He quotes the Shulchan Aruch on Erev Yom Kippur, one should go to his friend. And he asks in the second paragraph, V'yesh litmua. I wonder about the following. D'lechora mashma d'hai chiyuva lefayis chaveiro shehiknit mitzvasa be'erev Yom Kippurim dafka. To appease the friend who I harmed, I have to go to him specifically on Erev Yom Kippur. What's the pshat with Erev Yom Kippur? V'kasha heich sharinan lei lahamtin aratz. Why am I waiting till Erev Yom Kippur to work out this machlokas I had with my friend? To apologize for the way that I wronged my friend? What right do I have to sit back all year and wait till Erev Yom Kippur? Halachor mechuyav teikav lefaiso v'lo la'acher afilo ad Erev Rosh Hashanah. Why am I waiting till Erev Yom Kippur to try to appease my friend? It's a very interesting question. Look at the answer and look how it ties so beautifully into our sugya. Take a look at the third paragraph, the bottom right-hand column. I will answer this from what I heard from Rav Dessler Zatzal. Rav Dessler told me the following story. If I go to my friend and I apologize to him, right? Well, I'm going to have to tell him what I did wrong to him. By telling him what I did wrong to him, I'm going to terribly hurt his feelings. So Rav Yisrael Salanter said, sometimes when it comes to requesting forgiveness, you end up hurting the person more. Until I tell Yankel, he's not hurt by it at all. And I tell him what I did. Now he knows. Now I'm hurting him more. It would have been better not to get involved with it. Bottom line. Shechihai gavna, in such a case, roy listom kishmavakish machila. I should seal my lips when I ask machila. What does that mean? Sheim pagam, if I hurt this person, mavakish ala kol slicha v'dai bakach. What he's suggesting is the following. Look what he writes in the second line. Ulefize ulaitis yashiv kush yosenu. What's the one day of the year when I can come to Yaakov and apologize to him without him realizing, maybe, right, exactly how I've wronged him? What's a day when everyone's going around asking everyone for mechila anyways? Erev Yom Kippur! So maybe on Erev Yom Kippur, at the very least, to come to Yankel right after I spoke negatively to him, and to put it all out there, right, is not going to work. But I want to at least apologize. But I know he's going to ask, well, what are you apologizing for, right? That's what Noam said before, right? What are you apologizing for? What did you do wrong? Why are you apologizing? The only day I can just go around and just say, are you mochel me? Right? And that's like good enough, and no one's going to be like, mochel me for what? Right? But because that's just, everyone's asking mechila, is Erev Yom Kippur. So says Rav Sternbach, such a beautiful idea. So he says in the second line, again in the left column, De'bechol ha'shana, kishalo noda l'chaveru klum, im mevakish pitom mechila, if I suddenly show up and say, by the way, can you forgive me? Hala margish shapagam lo mitzar. The person's going to say, what did you do to me? Why are you asking mechila all of a sudden? Aval be'erev yom ha-kippurim. Kol echad mevakish mechila. Al safek nidnud pagam. On Erev Yom Kippur, everyone's going around just asking general mechila from anyone that they know. Val kein einu mitzar klal. Kishachavero mevakish mechila. His friend's not going to suspect anything when he comes to ask him mechila. Yes.
It's not full mechila, but it's like the best.
Yeah, it sounds meaningless.
Well, according to Rav Yisrael Salanter, right, it's certainly at least the best you can do. And And maybe, yeah. What more can we suggest? I don't know. What more can we do? Say again?
The guy says that he's hopeful
afraid
if you did, then that's it. And he's
hopeful afraid. Right. Right. Could be. As long as he gives you mechila gemura. See, the problem is on a typical day, the person's going to want to ask you more about why you're asking mechila all of a sudden. But I guess on Erev Yom Kippur, a person can get away with this, and the guy's not going to ask him too many questions. Okay, I want to just conclude this year. Again, there's a lot more to discuss here. I know there's a lot of questions. And again, I'm not posking anything halacha l'mais here. It's a very interesting answer that Sternbach suggests. Let's just look at one more interesting piece. And again, there are ways to try. Let's not forget what the Chafetz Chaim wrote in the Mishnah Berurah. I'm surprised no one's jumping on that. In the Mishnah Berurah himself, he said, if it's going to hurt the person, so then maybe it's better not to be mefarit. So maybe that's why this Erev Yom Kippur, Eitzah, is a great way to try to save the day. Erev Yom Kippur is the only day where the person will forgive you mechila gemura and will not expect to be mafarit anything. Now you know the secret, of course. So if someone comes over to you on Erev Yom Kippur, you have to be choshesh. They say, what? Yeah. Right? It's like, this is like insider information that we're giving away over here. Okay. There was a great Rav from Bnei Brak named Rav Binyamin Zilber. He wrote many volumes of Shilas and Chuvos under the title Oz Nidbru. They called him Rav Binyamin HaTzadik. I've heard Rav Schechter say many times. He was like this underrated, massive Gadol B'Torah. And everyone called him Rav Binyamin HaTzadik because he was a broad person. He wasn't connected to any particular group. When they tried to pull him into politics, as they often do with the Gedolei Hador, they try to take them out of the Beis Medrash and get them involved in signing all sorts of kol kores and political matters. And he didn't want to get involved. I've heard Rav Schechter say many times. Then they started calling him Binyamin HaRasha instead of Binyamin HaTzadik. Because now people, you know, he was a tzaddik, but once people wanted to use him in certain ways, and he wasn't interested in politics, people gave him a hard time. But he was a big, big tzaddik, and a big, big Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. And they published many, many, many volumes of his writings under a sefer, the title Oz Nidbru. So in the seventh volume of the Oz Nidbru, you have the copies in front of you, in Siman Samach Vav, he has a discussion about this. Okay, he's trying to somehow reconcile the Mishnah Berurah with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and with what the Chafetz Chaim himself wrote in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. So let's just read from the bottom paragraph. V'hineh. Okay? Because we have to work it out. Again, does my friend know anything? Does he know nothing? Is he going to ask for details? Is Tshuva demand that I go through the details? But that's going to hurt him more. Can I do the Rav Moshe Sternbach Eitzah? Look what he writes here just at the end. V'hineh amadubar sham v'chafetz chaim. If you look in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, what was the scenario? Shekvar nisvav ra'a otzar lechavero. You've already caused some type of harm to this person. De'im yesh lachush shirak b'rabos hazman yigrom. If you're concerned that al yedezeh a hezek will come as time goes on, the Chafetz Chaim writes, there we saw it ourselves in the Be'er Mayim Chaim, tzarechiyot. If I'm not sure if Yankel's ever going to hear about this, Chafetz Chaim said, I'm not sure you should get involved. The imkein, hamadubar shekvar yadua lo shesipru alav, v'kvar nigrom lo atzar, aval ein yodei al yedei mi. So it must be that the scenario, when you do have to approach him, is that Yankel has already been hurt by him. Yankel knows that negative speech about him has gotten him into trouble. People are talking about him, and it's affected him, and he's very hurt by it. And now the question only is, do I need to go and confess that, yes, Yankel, I was the one, and I'm sorry. You have to let yourself be known. Aval higov ha'atzmecha. Im echad tzipar. Al chaveiro lashon hara. However, if one spoke lashon hara about a person, shalom nigrom lo hezek usham ubusha, rakim hayenod lo hayelo mizet sar velule bakasha samachila lo olam lo hayenod lo. If I said something about him and he doesn't know about it and he's never going to find out about it, and the only pain I'm going to cause him is if I confess to him, va'achshav hayedei bakasha samachila nizbar lo shesipru lo v'nigram lo, turn the page, and now if I go and I confess to him, I'm going to cause him terrible tsar. Lichora pashut, it should be very pashutas. Kamoja Amar Agon Hakadosh Rav Yisrael Zatzal De'ein Tzarech Levakish Menu Mechila. V'toras Emes Ha'isav Afiu Ki Malach Hashem Tzavakosu. Says Rav Binyamin Zilber, I think Rav Yisrael Salanter, if the guy doesn't know anything, to go start telling him about this, and to have him now again be hurt and upset is not a good idea. So what was the Chafetz Chaim talking about? He says, if you look carefully in the Chafetz Chaim, k'meduma li shegam haChafetz Chaim moda b'zeh ve'ein kan plugta ve'ein l'zeh stira me'yashari tshuva. He somehow wants to work it all out and say that the different shitas work together. If he doesn't know anything, like the Chafetz Chaim wrote in Chafetz Chaim, don't clarify the details. But if he knows that someone harmed him, and now you're going to go and you're going to tell him that I was the one, so that's where perhaps the machlokas between Rav Yisrael Salanter and the Chafetz Chaim is. But the Chafetz Chaim would agree, if he doesn't know anything, don't start with him. He quotes from the Moad Muzmanim that we just read from Sternbach. Reisi Nuscha Acheres, I saw a different version. He brings from Rav Yisrael Salanter, right, the version that we just read. And then he writes in the final two paragraphs, V'nira Ikar, as I've written Kodem, D'b'chihai Gavna, Sha'adayin lo nigrum tsar v'ezek l'chavero, we have to follow Rishol Salanter that if I'm going to give him the first bit of pain, he doesn't, again, if he's pained already and he's already been damaged, then I have to maybe get involved. But if he doesn't know anything about it, right, then I should not specifically ask Mechila for this. That was the advice that Rav Sternbach gave us. And he writes in the final paragraph, Ulechora, Demasha Mabur, Besefer and Iskar Le'el, Ein Zeh Chiddush Klal. Says Rav Binyamin Zilber, this Chiddush of Rav Sternbach is not such a Chiddush. Sounds like a very clever Chiddush. You know, you go on Erev Yom Kippur, no one's suspecting. He says, it's not such a big Chiddush. Shezeh Kvar Mavur B'Mishnah Brura, She'ein Tzarech Lefar Etachid, Im Yodim She'ez Bayish, Im Yifrat Achid. That's what the Mishnah Brura told us. Mishnah Brura told us exactly this. Again, if I can go to Yankel, he's already been hurt. Yeah? And I can go to him and I can confess to him. And it's not going to hurt him more, because he's already so hurt. And if I confess to him, I know nothing's going to be worse by it, then I need to go and be mefarit tachid. But if I know that I'm going to hurt him more by confessing to the details of what I did, by admitting it was me, then the Mishnah Berurah agrees you're not supposed to go to him. So what's the machlokas then between the different opinions? Al yesh chiluk, de Mishnah Berurah. Look carefully in the last three lines. De Mishnah Berurah mevuar, rak lahakil bepira tachid, aval tzarech levakish mechila, bilashon shemizvada shechata kenegdo. What's the difference perhaps between what the Mishnah Berurah is saying and what Sternbach is suggesting? Mishnah Berurah might hold that when I go to the person and I know it's going to harm him more by getting into the details, I can go and I can say, I specifically wronged you. I don't want to get into the details of what I did, but I want you to know that I know that I did something to you this year. That's different than what Rav Sternbach is saying when you go around on Erev Yom Kippur and you just say, oh, by the way, if I did something to you, do you forgive me? According to Mishnah Berurah, I may not have the heter to just go around and say, if I did something. I have to go over and I say, I know I did something to you. Right? I know I did something to you. And the person says, what did you do? I don't want to get into the details because I know it's going to upset you more. But you should just know I did something to you and I'm very sorry about it. That's what the Mishnah Berurah would say. While Rav Sternbach might say, and again, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter might say, that no, you shouldn't even do that because that itself is upsetting him. And you're not allowed to cause any harm to another person so that you can then use that as a stepping stone to tshuva. You see the remarkable sensitivity of Rav Yisrael Salanter not to cause any harm to another Jew. You see the Chafetz Chaim's diligence to try to be metakin in any way possible, the chayit of Lashon Hara. And again, it's a lot for us to think about. But I think the best advice of all is like the Chafetz Chaim told us. Be careful not to get into this situation, and then you won't have to rely on any of these scenarios. But again, at least we have an Eitzah from Rav Sternbach if we do find ourselves in a particular situation, and we're too embarrassed to go over to that person to apologize. So then, at least on Erev Yom Kippur, right, make it your business to ask that person in a general way, oh, by the way, do you forgive me for everything that I may have done to you? Or if you're a little bit braver, like the Chafetz Chaim writes to Mishnah Berurah, at least admit that you did something wrong to him. Say, I want to spare you the details because I know it's not going to help our relationship. I know that I wronged you. I apologize for wronging you. And I hope we can move past that. I will be more careful in the future not to harm you. And I hope that you'll forgive me. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zocha. Zocher es Asher Asa Hashem Lokech Lemiriam. We should remember the severity of Lashon Hara, and in Mirtz Hashem, we can be taking our Lashon, we'll be Zocha to a Tshuva Shlema this time of the year.